Leslie, for that wonderful song that you are offering for us on this morning. We are at a unique place that as we gather on Palm Sunday, we recognize that on next Sunday we will gather for Resurrection Sunday, for Easter Sunday, and in the middle of that, in this holy week, there will be the arrest, there will be the trial, there will be the crucifixion of Jesus. We will mark those moments in the life of our church as our children are extraordinarily excited about. There will be an Easter egg hunt that will happen this afternoon. In addition, on Thursday, we will celebrate the meal, the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. That will be, it is a Thursday that we recognize in the church. That's called Maundy Thursday. It's based on that idea that Jesus gives us that says, a new commandment I give you, that you should love one another the way that I have loved you. And so we'll gather here, celebrate Holy Communion. That'll be at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And then on Friday, on Good Friday, that is not only a good day to plant your crops and your vegetables and everything that is there, but it's also a day that we recognize, the crucifixion of Jesus. And so we'll gather here again at 6 p.m. and lift out the words of Jesus that led to the cross. And so as we come this morning, I would like to invite you into a gospel in the New Testament. This is the gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 19. We'll start at verse 28 and continue through verse 40. I'm going to read from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. This is an updated edition of that version. But Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 28, I invite you to hear these words. After he had said this, and this is Jesus, after he had said this, he went on ahead going to Jerusalem. And when he had come near Bethpage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find there tied a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And then verse 31, if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord needs it. And then they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. And now as he was approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen. And they were saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. And then some of the Pharisees in the crowd, they said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. And Jesus answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty God, on this day, we certainly give you thanks for words that are spoken in our midst. And you have reminded us, O God, that in the midst of these holy scriptures, that these are inspired words. We pray and ask that as we receive them into our hearts, and as we receive them into our very lives, Lord, we pray and ask that there will be inspiration for us. We pray, O Lord, that as we lift up your Son, Jesus Christ, that in the midst of our hearts, that as we meditate on these words, we pray, O God, that they may become words of life for each and every one of us. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have spoken into my heart. I pray and ask that as I speak this morning, the words that I say, that they will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For this we ask in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, the one who saves us. Amen. Have you ever noticed how often or how many times Jesus will talk about the future? Moments that there is this coming wave, that there is this movement of God that is going to be coming. Palm Sunday is no different. Not only have we waved palm branches, but Jesus would remind us that that there is a movement of God that is emerging, that is coming as part of this celebration. But Luke will say that it's set for today with this coming way, that not only has Jesus talked about it, but also Luke tells us, pay attention to the rocks. Pay attention to the rocks that are around us. Pay attention to the rocks that are on the ground. This is one of the things that Luke captures beautifully in his gospel, or his good news about Jesus. Not only is there a coming wave of palm branches, but even the rocks. I mean, for Jesus, it is no surprise that we would come to a place like this, and that Palm Sunday would take us far away from just this particular Sunday, but to begin to ask us to imagine the future. Because for Jesus, inviting people to come and inviting people to imagine the future is not anything new. It's not something that begins on Palm Sunday. In fact, in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus will say this. Jesus will say, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. That the time is fulfilled. That the kingdom of God has come close to us. That the kingdom of God has come very close to us. That has become very near to us. And in another example, this is one of these things. There's a wonderful pastor that I had a conversation with on this past Wednesday evening when we were gathered together in Bible study. But Jesus will remind us of this. Do not think, and you may remember these words from the Sermon on the Mount. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law. Now, for Jesus, what he's talking about is this Jewish law that we find contained in the Hebrew Scriptures in the Old Testament. But Jesus says, do not think that I've come to abolish the law, but I've come not to abolish it. But many of you know the rest of that. I've come not to abolish the law, but I've come to fulfill the law. And even a 12-year-old Jesus, even Jesus when he is 12 years old and he is alone in the temple, or so his parents begin to imagine as Mary and Joseph go through the throng of people that are with them as they've journeyed into the city of Jerusalem to celebrate, that as they begin to say, well, where's Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? We thought he was ahead. We thought maybe he was straggling behind, but no, he's not with our group. That even 12-year-old Jesus, who finds himself in the temple, that finally when his parents find him, and they say to Jesus, have you done this? Probably something that we've all experienced with our own children and our grandchildren and nieces and nephews, particularly 12, 13, 14, maybe even earlier for us like that. And we've said, why are you putting us through this? Why are you doing this? And Jesus says, didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Again, this is this future orientation, this future that is there. And so it should be no surprise that on a day like today, that today, as Jesus is coming into the city of Jerusalem, as Jesus is with his disciples, that in the midst of this triumphant waving of palm branches, that even here, that the attention of the disciples, the attention of even some of those that will drop those palm branches on the ground, that their attention will go to Thursday, that last supper that Jesus will have gathered with his disciples. Then the arrest, then the trial, then the execution that will lead to the crucifixion of Jesus on Friday, that Jesus will say to them even now on this Sunday, go into the village that is ahead of you. Go into that village, you are going to find a colt, you are going to find a donkey that is there. And that as Jesus enters triumphantly into Jerusalem with the coming wave of palm branches, the disciples not quite sure about this donkey and about this colt that they're going into, they begin to ask some reasonable questions. They begin to ask, well, what? Where are we going to find it? What if someone does say something to us? Very reasonable questions. What about the owner of the animals? And Jesus says their only defense, that when they're asked about the owners of the colt that is there, and with their own imagination, their own thinking about the future, that, you know, stealing an animal you can be arrested for, their only defense being, well, just let them know that the Lord needs it. In fact, in another occasion, Jesus and the disciples and another movement of God, another wave of God. Jesus and the disciples, they come, and they're a bit confused around Jesus, and they say, Jesus, you know, we've left homes, we've left jobs, we've left families, we've left everything to come and to follow you. And you know, it's beginning to change our lives. It's beginning to shape our lives. And then they even turn to Jesus and they say, but everyone's not quite understanding. Everyone's not quite, well, they're not following you, Jesus. And Jesus will say, and again, Mark captures this, only those who have ears to understand, only those who have eyes to see. This is the Sunday for us. Palm Sunday is the Sunday for us. It is the day to have eyes where we are able to see. It is the Sunday where we are called to have ears that we can understand. You have seen our children who have come this morning. They're depending on us to have eyes to see. They're depending on us to have ears that we can understand this coming wave of God. To see and hear the coming wave of God that happens in our lives. That happens on us, that happens in our experiences. And to see this coming wave, to be able to understand this coming wave that will happen this week, on Holy Week, here at Grace Point, to see the coming movement of God, the coming wave of God that will happen in events like Easter egg hunts, and all the other traditions, all the other traveling, all the other plans that we'll carry with us this week. And Luke reminds us that not only eyes to see, not only ears to understand, but what about the rocks, even the rocks? Because Jesus says that if we don't have eyes to see, if we don't have ears that understand, what happens? Well, the end of the text makes it extraordinarily clear and very explicit about what happens. The Pharisees, the ones who are responsible for keeping law and order, the ones who are responsible to making sure that sanctuaries and temples and holy spaces are kept up and are clean and everything works properly. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd that Luke reminds us, they say, teacher, to Jesus, respectful term, a respectful title, teacher, order your disciples to stop. And Jesus says, but I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. Even the rocks will cry out. And you may be asking yourself, you may be pondering the question about rocks. And why in this very closing section of this triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem, why the rocks? You may be even asking yourself, how will we know? How will we know that we've gotten so far? How will we know that we've drifted so much? How will we know that we've gotten so far away from God's coming presence, from God's coming way? How will we know that the rocks are beginning to cry out? You may ask, how do we know that we've made so many mistakes that the rocks are coming to life, that the rocks are beginning to take on new life, that the rocks are beginning to cry out? Well, Psalm 19:1 helps us extraordinarily. Psalm 19:1 helps us, that says and invites us to embrace this. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and the words to the very end of the world. You see the heavens and the earth. You see the skies and the rocks are already calling out, already praising God for the coming wave. You see, the Palm Sunday message in Luke, the words of Jesus are merely a reminder of what some have come to see in the rocks already. That the heavens and the earth are right now and have been declaring the glory of God. That Palm Sunday is an invitation to join and begin to see the glory of God. It's a coming wave that suddenly makes sense to all of us. And it's a coming wave that would say that, of course, a 12-year-old Jesus who is left in the temple is going to begin to teach scribes, is going to teach learned people who have devoted their lives to studying Holy Scriptures, that of course a 12-year-old Jesus is going to teach as one with authority. Because even the rocks, even the heavens have been declaring this already. Of course, disciples of Jesus are going to see. They are going to hear God's coming wave. Because again, the heavens and the earth have been declaring of God's glory. That even of God's future, that doesn't end. That does not end with an execution of the crucified Messiah on Friday, but is transformed with Jesus' resurrection on Easter Sunday morning. You know, several years ago, I had a music leader that came to me and asked about a song for Easter. You know this, for music leaders and for preachers, Easter Sunday morning, it's kind of a big deal. It's a really big deal about the songs that get picked, the people who are going to sing those songs, the scriptures that are going to, all of it's a really big deal. And so on this Easter Sunday, it was a church that had two services. There was a contemporary service, there was a traditional service that was there. And of course, this song is going to be part of the contemporary service. Well, this music leader was asking me as the pastor, what about the traditional service? What about the next service? What about the service that is upstairs that is not in the gym? What about the service that is not early in the morning but is a little bit later in the day? What about the service that is in the sanctuary of God, do you think? Do you think that we could sing this song? You know, the church is really good. We're really good at drawing lines. What can happen here, what can happen there, what cannot happen here, what cannot happen there. And it's often we're way too good at drawing lines because we miss this coming wave of God. And so this song went extraordinarily well in the early service, the contemporary service, the one that was in the gym, the one that was downstairs, the one that was not in the holy sanctuary of God, the one that was in a building that was much newer than the sanctuary that was happening in. But the song, when it was sung in the sanctuary, when the psalm was sung in the congregation at the later service, in the traditional service, there was someone that was a part of that service. Someone that's a part of that worship service that came to me 2 years later and said, Brother Eddie, I want you to know that Brother Eddie, I'm still not going to let a single rock outpraise me. That song, the title of that song, was called Ain't Gonna Let No Rock. And it says this, I ain't going to let no rock outpraise me. I ain't going to let no rock cry in my place. I ain't going to let no rock outpraise me. I ain't going to let it sing in my place. My worship leader was a good Southern boy, as you can probably imagine with that song. But 2 years later, in a song that was sung in the sanctuary, 2 years later, there was one person that came to me and said, you know, I'm still committed. It's not a single rock that's going to outpraise me, Brother Eddie. The people that we're able to see, the people that are able to hear, us, when we are able to see, us, when we are able to understand what God is doing, that's what changes our lives. It's ultimately what changes the world. That's why the heavens and the earth, they've been declaring the glory of God. Luke reminds us, are we the folks that see it? Are we the folks that understand it? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the many journeys that you guide us in throughout our lives. We thank you for opportunities that we have taken and opportunities that we have missed. We thank you, O God, where we have drawn the lines, well, too wide, and when we have drawn the lines too close. For the times, O God, that you have restored us, the times that you have forgiven us, the times, Lord, that you have even saved us. And Lord, we pray that as we come on this Palm Sunday, and with eyes that are clearly focused throughout this week, on both death and life, on both sorrow and rejoicing, we pray and ask, Lord, that you will fix in us hearts that are molded and shaped by the power of God. We ask that you will give us enough courage, O God, to let go of our own selves and follow your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that for us that have gathered on this day, for us that are part of this worship, whether in the room or wherever we may find ourselves, we pray and ask, O God, that we're not going to let the rocks outpraise us, that we are not going to let rocks stand in our place, but truly, O God, we are going to lift you up as Messiah, as King, as Son of God. Lord, now, equip us to do it faithfully, starting today. We pray this all in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. And I would like to invite our ushers, if y'all would gather, and let us prepare to give our tithes and our offerings.